Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 7:14, here we go. We're going to talk about the history of the Super Bowl. And I said earlier, I was a little bitty baby boy going to Belchase, which is where I now live. A lot of y'all think Belchase is at the end of the world. It's not. At that point, it was. Going to a cousin's house in Belchase, putting an antenna way up on the roof is what they did to pirate a signal out of Baton Rouge to pick up the Super Bowl so we could watch the game that was being broadcast in New Orleans. That was when Kansas City beat Minnesota. So 2 years later, the Super Bowl was here again. Baltimore was playing Dallas in 1972, and I had to go down the street with another antenna way up on the roof to a neighbor's house to pirate the signal out of Baton Rouge. The game originally, as y'all know, started with both networks covering it. The game didn't sell out, and what's happened since then has been an American phenomenon. Robert Fliegler joins us, a professor of history at the University of Mississippi. Talk about it. How you doing, Professor?
Pretty good, thank you.
Let's talk about the history of this game. First of all, when it comes to national championships games and sporting events, it's the biggest of them all, other than the World Cup, accurate or not?
Yeah, I think biggest in the United States. The World Cup is probably still bigger internationally. But, yeah, certainly in the United States, nothing even comes remotely close to the Super Bowl now. It's left everything else in its wake in the last 60 years, almost 60 years now.
And I guess the difference is Super Bowl is one game. The World Cup's a series of games. When it comes to the origins, and I talked back about the early days, take us through the progression of the Super Bowl, how it's gotten bigger, why it's gotten bigger, and why it's become an American phenomenon.
Well, I think you have to go back to the beginning when football in the early 60s wasn't the biggest sport in America. It wasn't this dominant force in the culture. Baseball was number one, and you had the emergence of the AFL as a challenger to the NFL. And one of the architects of the AFL was Lamar Hunt, who was the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, whose son is now the owner of the Chiefs, who are playing the game this week. And he was one of the instrumental forces behind the AFL. And when the merger came between the AFL and the NFL, there was then going to be a championship game between the two leagues. And he sort of offered up the idea of it being called the Super Bowl. And that was not something that Pete Rozelle, who was probably the greatest sports commissioner we've had, he was not too excited about it. And they thought, well, there'll be a better term that'll come up at some point. But by the time of that first Super Bowl in 1967, people were calling it that, and it has stuck. And the game has just grown as the NFL, by the end of the 60s, was the number one sport. And it has grown even further as the NFL has become more and more dominant. And as early as 1974, Norman Vincent Peale said if Jesus Christ were alive, he'd be at the Super Bowl because the event had become so big. And I think what's striking also is there are those of us of a certain age who can remember when the Super Bowl really wasn't usually a very good game. You'd have 2 weeks of hype that would be talking the game up, and then you'd have a rout And so it was really incredible. But despite that, you know, nowadays the games in the last 20 years or so have been very good. But, you know, it just became this phenomenon that is, you know, the only sort of thing that we all kind of come together and watch.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point that you made about the games being better, because at one point they were blowouts and it was terrible. And I was talking the other day about the 49ers-Denver game here that was over at halftime. I think it was 49-0 back in 1990 or whenever it was. But as of late, and I guess it goes to parity in the National Football League, that means the difference between winning and losing is so close. The difference between getting to the championship game is so minute that you almost guarantee a pretty good game by the time you get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think the coming of the salary cap in the mid-90s kind of leavened the competition. And so that the NFC from the early 80s till the late 90s really dominated the game, had 13 straight wins in the Super Bowl. But with the salary cap sort of easing up, now we usually have close games. And even though the Patriots and Tom Brady and the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have had so many Super Bowl wins, most of them have been pretty taut sort of close games.
Let me take a break. We come back. I want to talk about the history of the game against the context of the history of the United States, because I know you're a historian at Ole Miss, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, because it does, I don't know if there's any comparison or not. I know back in the days growing up, you'd watch World War II movies and the code word would be who won the World Series, right? And now I think a lot of American soldiers would get shot because they wouldn't know who won the World Series, because it's not, and I say that not disrespectfully, but you know what I'm saying, because
sure.
Back in the movies, if y'all don't remember, they would say, all right, who won the series, to see if you're an American soldier or not, and they would know because the series was such a big thing. But it seems like, I don't know if there's been anything in American history that would rival the Super Bowl, especially if you look at the way media has become segmented now. But everybody comes together, although Fox has taken a step, and we'll talk about that with the professor as well now, putting it on Tubi to stream it so you don't have to watch it over broadcast or cable television. We're talking to Robert Fleekler, professor of history at the University of Mississippi, about the history of the Super Bowl. More when we come back. And I'd like to hear from y'all on the Elkhorn Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. If you have some memories of some early Super Bowls in New Orleans that you went to. Next half hour, we'll talk to Keith Spira about New Orleans Super Bowl halftime shows. I'm Tommy Tucker at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row in the Convention Center. It's powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. Back in a flash, time for traffic now on WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back at the Host Committee's Media Center here, covering the big game. We're talking to Robert Fleekler, a professor of history at the University of Mississippi, about the history of the Super Bowl and how it's grown into such a phenomenon. Professor, against the context of the country, is there anything that rivals the Super Bowl and its growth from what it started as to what it's become?
Certainly hard to see a lot of things in sort of modern U.S. history that compare. I mean, as you know, when TV emerged really in the 50s, when there were only the three networks, you know, we all watched the same TV shows. And that was, you know, kind of true until the 1980s. And, you know, you had something like the Dallas cliffhanger of Who Shot J.R. Ewing. The last episode of MASH, the series finale, was for years the most watched TV program in American history. And we used to sometimes as a nation come together to watch the same, you know, event TV show. But those days are long past. And the Super Bowl is the one thing that, you know, everyone will be watching. Even people who are not football fans will be going to Super Bowl parties. And it almost doesn't even matter what the matchup is, right? The World Series baseball got fortunate this year, very excited to have the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series. And that really increased interest. And of course, the NFL is certainly happy to have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs back in the game. But if they were not, the audience would probably only barely be affected, because it's just an event. And it's really a secular holiday, in a sense, but the country shuts down for Super Sunday.
We are very divided as a country. That's cliche almost to say it now. But is there something to be said for a mutually shared event like this where it can be uniting, even though it is a competitive event?
Yeah, no, I think there's no question about it. And I think sporting events, sports is kind of the one last area where that occurs. And again, just like in everything else, now you have a much more fractured sports climate, not necessarily a divisive one, but there's so many sports, there's so much to watch. And like I said, and yet, you know, the Super Bowl is this one thing left that kind of is the thing that everybody does. And I think that that is good for, you know, for three and a half hours this Sunday. We all will be, you know, sitting together watching United and doing the same thing. And I think that is healthy.
So they say you got to learn from history to predict the future, right? Or at least something along those lines. Or maybe I just made that up, Professor, either way. But where do you see this game 10 years from now and a country 10 years from now, if the past is any predictor of the future?
Well, the NFL has weathered a lot of storms in the last decade or so. And I think many people, including myself, I would have thought the concussion issues might have had a long-term effect, might have affected the game's popularity. But it just seems to keep going. It doesn't. There's no sign that the NFL and hence the Super Bowl is slowing down. You know, it's the one thing that viewership is falling for everything else, but the NFL is holding up better than anything. And so I can't see any reason right now to suggest that a decade from now, the Super Bowl won't still be the event, or maybe even bigger in some ways than it is today, like you say, with streaming and further internationalization of the audience. And it you know, you can't predict things, but when in a world like I've said, where everything else is sort of getting more fractured in the culture, in the popular culture, the NFL just keeps churning on and distancing itself from pro basketball and pro baseball as the biggest thing in the country. And the Super Bowl, I think in 1986, Game 7 of the World Series, very big World Series, and the Red Sox and the Mets got 80% of the audience of the Super Bowl. And I would have to look, but I would, if a baseball game, a Game 7, could get a third of the odds of the Super Bowl today, they'd be fortunate.
Wow. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate the time and the insight. I really do. I know you'll be watching on Sunday. Robert Fliegler, Professor of History at the University of Mississippi, talking about the history of the Super Bowl and how it's grown into the biggest event, not just sporting event, but the biggest event in the United States and maybe second only to the World Cup in the world. Keith Spira joins. We come back, reporter for the Times-Picayune.